It's good to see you all here tonight. We're glad that you're in the Lord's house. We want to take our Bibles and please and turn together to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we've been doing a series now for the past several months on a preacher for the times, and we've been looking at the life of John the Baptist. We started with his ministry, and now we've gone back to the beginning to look at the heritage that John the Baptist enjoyed. And what a heritage it was of a godly couple. The Bible describes them as both being righteous before Him, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. What a testimony they had. In their many years of service to God, He had never granted them a child. A consistent prayer request in their lives through the years that God would give them a child. They were well up in years. And Zechariah was to come to Jerusalem to conduct his responsibilities at the temple. Each tribe housed the Levites because the Levites did not have their own land for themselves. And they would come on a rotation basis to serve in the temple. And Zacharias had come to do his role. And when he had gone in, the Bible says to conduct his ministry, his work there at the temple, that an angel appeared unto him in verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. What's the significance of the altar of incense? Prayer, intercession, absolutely. His job was to tend, to make sure that the oil that was put back in, that the lights were burning all the time, that incense was being offered unto the Lord, which was a picture of the continuous prayers of God's people to the Lord. And while he was there, this angel appears unto Zacharias. He is greatly afraid. The angel tells him, "Don't be afraid. I've got some good news. Your prayer has been answered." Now, at that moment, I don't know that Zacharias knew which one of his prayers was going to be discussed. Here he is. He's well up in years. His wife is well up in years. I'm sure perhaps in his own mind that childbirth was not even on his mind, that perhaps it was another important prayer request. But we're going to look at tonight about the fact that this prayer request that had been offered so many times in their lives would finally be answered. Do you ever get discouraged in your prayer life when there are so many prayer requests? And sometimes things may look like that God doesn't care, or that God, what we don't know are the things on the other side too, and the decisions that were made. And we have prayed for individuals through the years, and we've seen God answer in miraculous ways, and then pray for others, and it doesn't seem like we got an answer as we sought after. One of the things that I've learned through the years is that God didn't tell us to stop praying. What did He say? Pray without ceasing. It's a spirit and attitude of life that the child of God is privileged to go into the presence of God and rejoice in God's gracious goodness to us. You know, you think about, we had a bad storm on Friday. I went out there with my bullhorn. I was clearing people. I said, go to your cars. We got lightning coming in. And boy, within just about 20 minutes, it let loose and it was popping lightning and all around us and so forth. We made the decision to send everybody home. But at least they made it out to their cars and no one was injured. And you think about the mercy of God. God withholding things from happening that could be devastating. And then His gracious care about when things do happen, He just fills us with His grace and with His comfort to allow us to be able to go through that particular situation. Unmerited favor. God is so good to us. And here's this couple. I can only imagine having prayed for throughout their adult lives, "Lord, would You give us a child? Would You give us a son?" I think that was on their hearts, and they had gone before the Lord. And now they're up in years, and in their own minds, we're well past childbearing years. And yet the angel appears and says to them, "Your prayer is answered." Notice this, please. The angelic message in verses 13 and 14. Well, we read, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Yet future, shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John. I want us to look for just a few moments at those phrases there, because they're just full of just glorious words to this couple, all right, older couple, having prayed all those years, and now the Lord's going to give them to them. Now, I don't know about you, but children can wear you out, all right? I'll drop by the gym several times a day, and I'll run in there, and the kids all come running up, and, "How you doing, Mr. Brainerd? You want to play ping pong? Mr. Brainerd, you want to come jump in the bounce house? Mr. Brainerd, you want to come swimming?" And usually it's, "No, I don't think so," they're just endless, boundless energy. You drop in at 5 o'clock, and they're still going. They're still playing games. They're still bouncing in the bounce house. But my workers are like, hey, they are just wore out. And I've had two or three parents say, my kids just really enjoy the camp. And what I like about it is when they get home, they just fall asleep. And why can't they do that for the last few hours of camp? They're just still going strong, but when they get home, whoo, dinner, and they're out. But then the next morning, let's go to camp. They're just full of energy. So here's this elderly couple looking at the fact that they're going to give birth to an infant, and they're going to raise that child. The Lord said, "Thy prayer is heard." What assurance we have from our Lord that our prayer is heard. And that word there, the idea of heard there, not only is it heard, but I'm going to act on it, and I'm going to give you what you've requested. Sometimes we think, "Well, Lord, it would have been nice if you'd have done that years before," but that wasn't in His plan. His plan was this child would be born just before His son would be born in Bethlehem. That was all of eternity. Those two events, the forerunner, John the Baptist, born 6 months later, Jesus Christ born. Infinite wisdom, infinite planning. To an older couple, He would give them the desire of their heart. They were beyond their childbearing years, but God can do anything. What a reminder. And they had prayed for such a long time, all through their marriage, yet no answer until this moment. Can you imagine what was going through their minds at that particular moment? When He came out, He couldn't speak. And this is what is so interesting about this event. He couldn't come out and say, "Honey, we're going to have a baby." What was it? Now, most wives say, "Yes! Woo! Silence from my husband. I won't have to listen to any complaining. I won't have to, honey, can you get me a glass of tea? Honey, can you bring me something to eat?" Nothing. Because His voice was gone. But they would soon find out. They would soon find out that God intended to give them a son. "Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." You see, their age was not a factor with God. Sometimes we put up all kinds of temporary barriers. Now remember, this is all part of the heritage of John. Are you getting the connection here? This is the home that John would grow up in. And he would be given this heritage of his coming to the earth. You've all heard stories, I'm sure, about when you were born. Maybe it was an exciting birth. Maybe you were born in a car. Anybody here born in a car? On a boat. Anybody here born in a boat? Anybody born at home? Okay, we've got some that were born at home. Most of us were born in a hospital, right? Anybody else born in an airplane? I don't know what else, a locomotive, train, I don't know. Some people have exciting stories. Yes?
I was born on the kitchen table.
What's that famous Chicago response? No, you weren't. Ooh, kitchen table, now, that's a story right there, all right? And you've been told that since you were born, right? You were told that story about being born on the kitchen table. And, you know, when you ate dinner there later on, you probably, there are probably visuals that you didn't want to go back through again. But
it was a ceramic surface.
Wow. I don't know if I can finish the message now. I may have to stop right here and we'll just have prayer. But John the Baptist was born, and he was named by God. None of us can say we were named by God. We were given names at birth. You know, my wife and I, we sat down and came up with a whole list of names for potential children that we might have in the future. And we had all kinds of names. I think I shared a few with him a few weeks ago. But do you know that there's some people that put absolutely no preparation into the naming of their children? They go to the hospital and for 30 days they have no name. Baby A or Baby X. Because mom and dad, oh, we didn't even think about a name. Oh, what were you doing for 9 months? Okay? It never dawned on you to think about a name for the child? All right? Some people just live in an alternative universe, okay? And, you know, and some people name their children after names on boxes. Listen, Brother Watt and I have to call out the names at baseball. I want to tell you something. Whew. Some of the names that these poor children are stuck with, you would not imagine. They're made-up names. A lot of them are just made-up names. And the reason they were made up is because they didn't have time to think about it over 9 months. That was not enough time. They needed more time. And then they came up with that. Now, you know, it's nice to have a unique name, but you want to get one that they can at least spell and not have to explain the whole existence here upon this earth. But God said, I'm going to give you a name. And this name is so interesting. Because it's linked to the Hebrew. And the Hebrew name, as you see up on the screen, is Yoch-Anan. All right? And by the way, I listened to that on the Hebrew. You can Google it. Actually, hear it. Yoch-Anan. All right? And it means Yahweh is gracious and merciful. Did God pick a good name? Amen. He sure did. Because God was gracious. And he was merciful to give this elderly couple this boy who was going to be a very special young man. Six important notations are made by the angel about this young boy that would be born. Number one, thou shalt have joy and gladness. Every parent wants to hear that about their child. You know, I've been around a long time, and I've had to deal with children, I've had to deal with parents, and sometimes you couldn't tell the difference in age. Let that soak in for just a few moments. You just wondered, said, did these people ever grow up? You know, the one standard, my child never lies. Well, they just told a lie. They just told a lie. Because their child does lie. The Bible says we come forth from our womb, what? From the womb, lying. All right? Nothing wrong with us. We're just letting the whole world know, I'm here. Right? And, you know, babies will do that. They'll learn that mama's come running. Right there. Hey. They figure it out. Right? They figure it out quick. There's nothing wrong. Now, there used to be, Dr. Hobbs, you always said that you sometimes you'd have to check and see if they stuck you with a pin. They don't do that anymore. That's a long time ago. There is no pinning babies, you know, diapers on anymore. It's all, you know, plastic paper, you know, zip ties or whatever, and you're off to next chore that you have. I want you to know something here. This child, John, would be one that would bring gladness and joy. Number two, many shall rejoice at his birth. Now, you know, it's always exciting to have a baby. I remember I attended all four of our kids being born, and it was so exciting. I remember standing in the doorway holding Gregory, and Pop, I opened the door, and Pop was standing out there in the hallway, and I said, "Pop, here's a grandson." And my dad, just tears streaming down his face, and I started crying too, and Gregory started crying too. And we all three of us were crying there in the doorway. And, you know, it was just a tender moment. And then when Brian was born, then Jonathan was born, then Elizabeth was born, you know, those moments. And Jerry just keeps, you got a whole line of them experience there. It's a joyful thing, is it not, brother? It's a joyful thing to have a child. And people rejoice with you when you have a child. And that was a promise that came from God through the angel to Elizabeth and to Zacharias. You know what? They didn't know anything about raising children. All their lives watching other people have children and watching those children grow up and watching those children have grandchildren. And here they were up in years. They didn't know a whole lot about it. But God said, this child is going to bring gladness and joy, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Number three, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall be great. You know what's interesting to me? In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11, Jesus said about John, John was great, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's a remarkable statement that's made there by our Lord. That even though John the Baptist was great, the least in the kingdom is greater than he. Speaking of humility and grace in our ministry, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be a Nazarite. Verse 15 tells us that he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. That's number five. That's striking. The Holy Spirit didn't come to live in my heart until I was age 14. I had walked down this aisle back when it was tile, and walked the aisle and came forward and made profession after profession after profession, chapel services. I had walked the aisle so many times, I had lost count. But at age 14 in 1978, I walked down for the last time, and I got it forever settled at that moment. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in my heart and life. But this child had the Holy Spirit dwelling within before he was born. I don't know of anybody other than Jesus and John the Baptist that were filled with the Holy Spirit before they were born. None of my kids were. Okay, and I would imagine none of your kids were either. They weren't indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But that indicates a specific, special calling and ministry. And God told them this as future expecting parents for a reason. And by the way, every one of us should understand this. Every child that God gives is another opportunity to rear that child for God. Not rear them for yourself, not to make a great name for your family, but to rear them to serve Jesus Christ. He shall be filled with the Spirit of God, even in the womb. And by the way, whenever Mary came to Elizabeth and told her that she was going to have a child, the child inside of Elizabeth, John, all right, what did he do when he found out? The Bible says the babe leaped within her womb. That was the Holy Spirit rejoicing that the Savior was coming and that God would use Mary for that. And then number six, many shall turn to the Lord their God because of His ministry. This is a promise that every preacher, I think, of the Word of God desires, but doesn't really know how God will use. I know one of my early struggles, whenever I knew that God was calling me to preach, and I preached my first message at age 15, scared to death. And I did not really know at that particular time, but I had an indication in my heart that that's what God wanted me to do. And then through my high school years, I said, oh, Lord, What do you want me to do? How do you want me to train? I don't know what to do. And so those first 2 years, I came to college here at Santa Rosa Christian College, and I did the basics of just about everything. I did education. I did Bible pastoral training. I did music. I did just everything I knew to do. And then when I transferred up to Bob Jones University, I trained in Bible and I trained in music. I didn't know what else to do. But that seemed to be the direction that the Lord was leading me in. And I knew by the time I was a sophomore in college that God had called me to preach. I knew that He had called me to preach. And God placed within me, and I still have it to this day, this desire to communicate His Word. That was not put there by Todd Brainerd. That was put there by God. And the Bible tells us that many shall turn to the Lord their God because of His ministry. Now, I haven't been given that promise, but John was given that promise. That his ministry would be productive. That his ministry would draw many unto the Lord. And if you'd have looked at him when he came forth out of the wilderness, you would have said in your heart, this man's going nowhere in the ministry. Right? One look at him. Camel's hair. All right? What did he have for lunch? What did he carry it? Locusts and honey. You would have said, that preacher's not preaching in our church. I mean, we want somebody a little more refined. But God used this man with a rough exterior to turn a nation upside down and to take and level the high places. We talked about this, about the ministry of being a forerunner. He was to take the high places, level them off, the valleys, fill them in to make the road straight for Jesus Christ. And that took somebody with enormous Holy Spirit power to do. Now this, folks, was the heritage of a child that hadn't even been born yet. This promise was given. And when he was born, he grew up, and he was trained by Zacharias and Elizabeth. And he went out into the wilderness and learned how to live out there. You talk about growing up fast. We grew up camping a lot, going out on the creek. Mr. Woods used to take us out on the creek all the time. My dad was working all the time and was umpiring and so forth like that. And so Mr. Woods said, we're going to get the boys in the youth group and we're going to go out and camp on the creek. We didn't even have a sleeping bag. All we had was a piece of plastic that Dad had and a rope that we tied between two trees, and we ran the plastic. That was our tent. And we had two quilts that my grandmother had made, and we pinned them up on we folded it, pinned it up on one side, and that was our sleeping bag. And I remember being out there and lightning popping, rain. We had to take our paddles and dig trenches for the water to go around our camping area because it was flowing right through us. We were getting soaked. And I remember being out there praying, Lord, please don't kill us. Please don't kill us. Some of the guys would be under an aluminum canoe. You talk about conductivity? My goodness. And they would come running. Can we get in your tent? Can we get in your tent? You know, they'd all come running in there. And we'd sit in there huddled in there. Boy, you're just popping everywhere. You know how thunderstorms are. And just praying. And then we'd wake up in the morning and the sun would come up. And Mr. Woods would be out there. He's already fixing his breakfast. And you'd smell it cooking. And then you'd look in your bag that you brought. And breakfast was Vienna sausages. And we had, I don't know what else we had in there. But it wasn't typical breakfast food. And we did this over and over and over and over again. All right? Going up the river and paddling. But Bill remembers some of those trips that we had. We had some fun times back in those days to go down the river and tell, you know, be out there on a campfire till midnight, you know, talking and whatever. And you hear something crack out in the woods. What was that? Are there any bears around here? You know? Now, who knows what it was? But, you know, you would just kind of sleep with one eye open because you'd hear all kinds of noises at night. And then you'd hear thunderstorms off in the distance, you know, not knowing whether they were coming your way again. And, you know, we did a lot of growing up with those kind of events. Mama wasn't there. There was no, you know, are we going to make it through this or not? Okay. Would you paddle the canoe? No, you were paddling the canoe. If you went anywhere, you were paddling the canoe. And you had to plan ahead. You had to have enough food. It always seemed there was one guy in the group that forgot to go shopping. So they were constantly asking for stuff, you know. And we'd have some of those guys, man, they'd have the best of camping food. And then there were the rest of us that didn't have a clue. And, you know, we'd ate up all our food before midnight. You know, we were starving to death. And midnight would come and pass, and the next morning, what are we going to have to eat? Well, I just happened to have a little extra eggs here and bacon and whatever, and we'd share it out. Now, that has nothing to do with the message other than this. Wilderness life will grow you up quick. It'll turn you into an adult. That's what happened to Moses. Moses spent how many years out in the wilderness? 40. But you know what it did? It made a man out of him. He went from a pampered Pharaoh's son, adopted son, to the leader of Israel because of wilderness. By the way, how many years was Paul ducted out into the wilderness? 3 years, we're told. Why? He had to be prepared to be an apostle. It's interesting to go through and see all the wilderness experiences of different leaders in the Bible. They did their growing up there. And you know what our kids need today? They need some wilderness time. Wilderness time. They need to learn to go out and to be able to survive several nights out on a creek without mama there. To be able to go out and do those kind of things. And today you hear, oh no, we can't do that. Yes, we can. Yes, we can do those kind of things. Because that teaches us how to realize that we're not going to be able to stay with mama and daddy the rest of our lives. We got to grow up. And John spent time in the wilderness that prepared him to go out and be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. His individual personal experiences of growing up in the wilderness would equip him for a spiritual ministry later. Don't ever forget that, folks. Your physical preparation is just as important as your spiritual preparation. I'll leave you with this thought. We had at college at the time, Dr. Rupp was the leader of the preacher boys. Dr. Richard Rupp, been there for many, many years at Bob Jones University. And he would talk about, he said, my heart's grieved, young men. He'd stand up there in front of the preacher boys. There were 900 of us there. He said, it grieves me, young men, that some of you don't know how to change the oil in your car. What you going to do when you get to the mission field? Some of you don't know where a spark plug is. What you going to do when you get to the mission field? And there's not going to be a Jiffy Lube nearby. Some of you don't know how to change the tire on your car. What you going to do when you get to the mission field? Or maybe into evangelism and you're on the side of the road. Are you going to expect everybody else to do it? Or are you going to learn how to do it? And I remember sitting there and I said, he must know Dr. Hobbs. Because Dr. Hobbs had the same thing. I mean, when we were boys growing up in here, we learned how to do everything, including how to pull a tractor off of a pine tree. We ran one down into a pine tree one time, bent the axle all up, tried to hide it in the shop, and Mr. Jones found it, and it didn't take long in the investigation to discover who it was. It was three boys. One of us was riding on the hood, I forget which one, and the other two were hanging on the sides, and we didn't have brakes on it. And we just figured we're going to have to let a tree stop us, and it did. And we went flying off there, but it left damage. And I remember Dr. Hobbs laughing when he saw that thing. The wheels were all bent up and cockeyed on there, and we were just waiting to be killed. We figured we'd be strung up on one of the light poles, and that'd be it. We'd end our lives at a very early age. But he went and laughed, and he said, next time, just tell me when you do it. You don't need to hide it. Pull it over here in the corner thinking, Mr. Jones will find it. Well, we learned that real quick. So next time we just went and told him, said, hey, we broke this. Well, we didn't. All right. Well, let's see if you can fix it. And he put us to work to try to fix it. Sometimes we could, sometimes we couldn't. But the training of learning how to do all those things have helped many a young person. The training our kids get out there at the concession stand of dealing with the public and dealing with people that aren't very nice sometimes and learning how to make change. Don't get me started on that one. I've stood in front of too many people and told them what the change was, and they sit there and, you know, and try to do that, you know. Just learning the basics of life will set you in good stead for spiritual ministry. That was the heritage of John, who would later be known as John the Baptist. We need some of those kind of young men. We need some. Will they come from our church? I pray they do. I pray they do. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time that we've spent in this passage of Scripture. Lord, nothing new here. Just wonderful promises that were given to an elderly couple that would find out that they were going to have a boy. His name was going to be John, a gift of God's mercy and grace to them, who would be used of God to be the forerunner of His Son, Jesus Christ. And the heritage that John the Baptist was given allowed him to be a useful tool in your hands. And Lord, we want to raise up a generation here of young people that can be used of Thee to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ all around the world. Be a witness right here in Milton. Be a witness at home. Be a witness to neighborhood kids. Be a witness in their neighborhoods when they get older and get married. Be a witness to their own children and grandchildren. Lord, we've lost sight, I'm afraid, of what's required, the heritage that's required for young people. We thank you for the one that John the Baptist was given. It is almost like a standard in the Scriptures. I pray that you'd help us to take to heart the things that we've talked about tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.